Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for Saturday, February the 27th, the last Saturday in this month. I'm your host, Denise Turney. I'm the author of the book Long Walk Up. Please stop in and visit me online today at www.chistell.com and pick up a copy of Long Walk Up or one of my other books, and look for my new book, Love Pour Over Me, coming out later this year. Again, I'm coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We still have a little snow on the ground from yesterday. I'm so honored to bring David Murdoch to you this morning. David is the author of the inspirational book, and I think a real-life experiences book, a powerful book that motivate and inspire people who've gone through hard times. And the title of the book is Anna Markovic. Hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. David Murdoch was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, where he's calling us from this morning. He's from the same country that the filmmaker genius James Cameron, creator of the new hit movie Avatar, is from. David is a graduate from Queen's University in Kingston, and we are so pleased and honored to have him with us this morning on Off the Shelf. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much, Denise. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here with us. I wanted to ask you, what was it like growing up in Toronto, Canada? And earlier I'd asked you if that's where you were calling from, and you say yes. I've never been to Canada, so I thought I'd start this show by giving myself a little bit of an education. What was it like for you growing up in Toronto?
Well, I guess it's Toronto is a very sort of very, very multicultural city. Like, it has a whole lot of different ethnicities and races and cultures and peoples who all come here. So when I was growing up here, I was sort of, like, I came from sort of a British English-speaking background, and I was sort of a minority in, like, the area I lived in, which was mostly sort of an Eastern European area.
Okay.
Canada in general, the culture is very, very similar to the United States. But there's, you know, there's just differences here and there which you just tend to notice maybe. And there's, growing up in Toronto, you know, it's much colder, I guess, than, you know, many people in the States might be used to.
Oh, okay.
And the,
so what is the weather like there now today?
Well, looking out the window, it's snowing pretty hard right now.
Wow.
But it's actually been a rather mild winter up here. Like, we haven't had the same sort of snow that you've been having down south. Like, we've had a lot of sort of warm spells, a lot of rain in January, which is really unusual.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. I've always thought and heard that it stayed cold, even the summers there. I guess a warm summer is what, maybe 70 degrees. Or am I wrong about that?
In Toronto, it actually gets really hot in the summer, but in other parts of the country, it can get kind of cold. Like in Toronto, it often gets up to 30 Celsius in the summertime.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you are the first person on our show and Off the Shelf who is an author from Toronto, Canada, so congratulations on being the first. And that's a place I always wanted to visit, and I've heard such wonderful things about Toronto in particular. It's just a wonderful city. I wanted to ask you next, David, how old were you when you realized that you were a writer, and was there a particular event that caused you to realize that this was your gift?
Actually, there was. I've always been writing, like, little sort of, you know, stories and stuff since I was young, but I never actually thought about trying to, like, actually publish the thing that you write up until, you know, maybe about a few years ago in 2008. And what the event actually happened, it was I was taking a sort of like a mini sort of Bible study course with some Catholic missionaries in Kingston, Ontario.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the course, I sat down with one of them. And, you know, I sort of had a one-on-one chat with him about, like, you know, how his spiritual life is going and, you know, what God's calling us to do. And he started talking to me about how it is, you know, I should be trying to, get the gifts that God's given me with regards, you know, like with the wisdom and the knowledge and, like, the, you know, the stuff, you know, the faith that he's given me to try and share it with others and to try and to spread it to the world. And I didn't think much of that at that instance, but you know, after you know about a week or so, I began thinking about it more and more, and you know, I should be trying to like you know share the gifts that God's given me, share the you know the talents you know so
uh-huh.
that He's given me with others. And so about a week later, I then decided to sit down and you know, thought, you know, maybe I should try, you know, writing a novel or try writing a book or something. And I
wow.
started playing around with it and eventually came out with Anna Markovich.
Oh, my goodness. So even from that, and that, so somewhere within you, you knew the answer to that question for you to say, oh, maybe I should share my gift. And the first thing you think to do is to write, not sing, paint, or maybe be a scientist to find a cure for something, but to sit down and write. I think somewhere within us, we do know the answer. That's a wonderful story. I know you know Tanya Ortiz, and her story is a little similar to that. When I was listening to you describe how you came to realize that your gift was writing, and I it made me think about her and how she learned about her gift. And then in her book, Window to My Soul, which is another inspirational book, it just parallels the two stories do. Tell us about some of your early writings. I know you said you wrote a little bit before you were published in 2008. Did you start writing poetry, David, or short stories? What were your early writings? What types of writings were they? And what were maybe some of the subjects of those early pieces?
It wasn't, I never wrote like a novel before, but I always wrote like little sort of stories before. Like, I converted to Catholicism between about 2005 and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And before that point, like whatever I wrote was always just, you know, things which I thought were sort of interesting, like sort of novelties and, you know, sort of interesting themes, like often like a lot of sort of little political themes or like little, you know, historical or cultural things that I thought were interesting. But after that point, when I converted, I began to see that, like, you know, there was, you know, something, like I began to take, you know, the faith as a major part of my life, and I began sort of including that in, like, you know, little things I might write.
Mm-hmm.
Like an example of a story I once wrote before I, you know, tried to publish the novel was I once tried to, like, write a I don't know how you describe it, it's like a historical fiction of you know the war in heaven between Saint Michael and the devil,
mm-hmm.
I didn't go very far with it, but I did, that would be like the sort of example of something I would have written before that.
Oh, okay. Is Anna Markovich, and I'm gathering that it is this your first novel? I know you said it's your first published, but is this actually the first novel that you have written?
Yes, it's the first complete novel. Yeah.
Okay. Can you just tell our listeners here at Off the Shelf what Anna Markovich is about? And why is Anna, the book's main character, why is she so troubled? If you could just tell us what the book's about and why is she so troubled? Is there a reason as the author that you gave her, created her with that troubled beginning so that the story could have the rich ending that it does. So if you could just tell us a little bit about it and then why the character is so troubled.
Okay. Anna Markovich she was born in Yugoslavia in the 1970s, and she suffered as a result of the war in the 90s and decided to come to Canada as a refugee with her husband in 2000. But she sort of developed a lot of depression along the way and found that she missed her homeland as well as, you know, other problems that she was having at the time, and began turning to alcohol. And after she began turning to alcohol, she, you know, more problems started coming up because the alcohol made the problems worse. And after a little bit of a while, she got in a little bit of trouble with her husband, and she ran away from home, and she became homeless on the streets of Toronto. And she became like a very sort of very, very selfish person, a very like someone who was, you know, she's the cause of all of her own problems, and she knows this, and, she, you know, the acknowledgement of that just causes her to drink even more and to try and, you know, make her problems even worse and to despair even more. And she's going along this sort of path to destruction that's, you know, ruining her life as well as the lives of, you know, the people who loved her. And as she's going down this path, eventually one night she drinks so much that she is about to die of alcohol poisoning.
Mm.
And the main theme of the book is that she's given up on herself, but God hasn't given up on her.
Mm.
And she's given up on she's leading down this path of self destruction, and As she's lying passed out, ready to die, the archangel Saint Michael comes to her in a dream, and explains to her, this is the deal. You're about to go to hell if you continue on this thing. If you don't repent of everything that you're doing, and he tries to convince her that you really do matter in the eyes of God. You really are loved by Him. You need to accept this, and that you need to, He's not going to let you do this to yourself, but He's going to try and intervene. And do the best he can to stop this from happening. And that's the main sort of theme, the main crux of the book.
How old was she when she came from, how old was she when she got married, and how old is she when she and her husband fled Yugoslavia during the war and came to Canada?
She didn't have the same problems that she had before. She was a religious believer at the time. But she, after she came to Canada, she stopped taking it seriously anymore, and eventually became an atheist. I don't write too much about that particular time. But she has she has some flashbacks about her childhood and some of the happy experiences she had, with her grandmother and talking about God with him. God with her, and it's sort of like there's a great difference between like the life that she was living then and the sort of the downward spiral that she enters after she enters Canada.
Now, is she based on a real life character, or is she 100% fictional?
She's as far as I know, she's 100% fictional. I don't know if there's a lot of people out there who have a lot of difficulties with alcoholism and are suffering greatly for it, but that is. In terms of her, I've never actually met a person that I would know about who would fit her. No.
So, again, how old was she when she left in the story? When she left, when she got married, was she like in her early 20s?
Yes.
Oh, she was. So she was a young woman when she got married and when she left Yugoslavia. I can just imagine, though, being in a war. And oddly enough, Canada is a place that a lot of people escape to when they're trying to leave a hardship. I know in reading about the Underground Railroad with Harriet Tubman, who is one of my heroes, along with Joan of Arc, that's where the Underground Railroad, one of the places that it led to was to Canada. And I think Harriet may have lived there for a while, and her parents had a home there. And then Harriet came back to the States and lived in upstate New York until she passed. But I think about that. I think about when people try to flee wars in the United States, when they go, like the Vietnam War, a lot of people went to Canada. And then with the story of Anna Markovic wanting to escape the war in Yugoslavia and going to Canada, it's like it's a country that people want to go to for refuge in some sort of way that Canada keeps coming up. I know the United States, for a lot of other people, Haiti, Cuba, different countries, people come to the United States with that same thing in mind, like it's a safe haven, just a much better place than where they originated from. Whether that bears out or not is remains to be seen in each individual's life. But I wanted to ask you, is Anna Markovic, is it based on a single or a combination of real-life experiences? I know it's not based on a real-life person, as you said, as best as you know, but is it based on a single or a combination of real-life experiences that you either experienced or witnessed lived by one or more people?
Yes, there's a number of sort of life experiences which I've either had myself or I've seen other people having, which I sort of include in the book, and I often try to exaggerate or sort of modify slightly to make it into the book. I've never known anyone. Actually, that's not true. I have known people who have had major problems with alcoholism, who were sort of destroying their livelihood as a result of it. But in terms of I also include my own conversion experience to Catholicism is also a lot of the sort of the questions I would have about the faith, I sort of include with, in Anna's, talk with St. Michael, and, the questions she has about, the things he's trying to tell her, and, her problems with it and that sort of thing. There's other stuff. There's other stuff, too.
I think that lends credibility to a story, and I don't mean it makes it true or anything, but when a reader reads a story and something to them rings, even if it's a work of fiction, but it rings like this could really happen, or perhaps this has happened, and maybe the author's creating this story just like you bake a cake or something, putting ingredients from real life experiences that they have either had or witnessed. I find that it lends a story strength. There is something about this Anna Markovic story that is very intriguing. I don't know why to me, and this is just probably the mark of good writing on your part, but she seems like a real-life person, which, again, is a compliment to you. That just the emotion, the depth of emotion around the character makes her seem real. She's a multifaceted. Well, you've well fleshed her out very well. Do you think, David, that the years that she spent as a refugee in Yugoslavia had an impact on the decisions she made as an adult? Because I don't think we just do what we do. There's something that causes us to do what we do. And did you, as the author, have sympathy for that? If she experienced a lot of hardships as a child, certainly that would impact her as a grown woman. Would you say in the book, did you illustrate that? If as a refugee, did some of those experiences continue to trouble her as a grown woman?
They definitely impacted her. Like I agree with everything you just said about how it is, you know, the reality of the story comes through when you sort of interpret people in a real way like that. It's like I would say that in terms of her experiences as a refugee, like they definitely sort of impacted her, especially including the, you know, leading to her to becoming more depressed and such. But it also it also comes, you know, very strongly when she begins talking with the Archangel Michael, and he starts talking about the experiences that you know, she had in trying to interpret that in, you know, the light of God's wisdom, you know, saying that when her life was threatened, you know, when people came and to her house and told her to leave or else they were going to kill her, he tells her that, you know, it wasn't just against you that those men were doing that. It's against God that they're doing that. You know, when you hate your neighbor, you're not just hating your neighbor, you're also hating, you know, the image of God upon your neighbor. So it's just in terms of like the character, like the everything you just said is, you know, really, really true. It's the when we make decisions, we always, you know, it's often because there's, you know, something, you know, there's often something that often leads up to it. It builds up to it. Like we have, you know, all sorts of different influences throughout our lives, things which we realize and things which we don't realize. And, you know, we often make decisions that make sense and often make decisions that don't make sense. And, you know, trying to include all those things in a good character is difficult, but it, you know, adds a lot of credibility to the story, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think you've done just it's something about this character, a marvelous job at that. I would say, and then another thing that's interesting, reading a book, A Course in Miracles, and it states that we shouldn't make decisions on our own, but to let the Holy Ghost make them for us, because we don't really know, like when you were saying with the Archangel talking with her, we don't really know why something is happening. And if we look through our own limited lens as to why, and then we make a decision, we just might make the wrong decision. So to trust a source that knows it all is the better thing to do, because there could be a lot, something that happens to us, we just think we're so sure as to why it happened, and there's a lot of pieces that we are totally unaware of, and then if we react to something or make a decision, we could exacerbate it and actually make it worse. So I just, that you brought that point up, I thought was very interesting and good. Dave, I wanted to ask you next, did she think that getting married would fix the emptiness that she felt? And then I next want to ask you, how often do you think this happens, that people feel an emptiness inside based on something that happened in their childhood, something painful or troubled, and they think, oh, I know the way to fix it, I'll get married. So do you think that she thought getting married would fix the emptiness that she felt inside?
I didn't have anything like that in the story, you know. But in terms of the broader point about people, you know, making decisions or getting married or going after something because of some emptiness inside of them, I think that's, you know, that's the common condition of, you know, all of us humans on the world. We often try to, you know, we all experience like a sort of longing in ourselves for something better than what we have. We all have feel a sort of emptiness towards one thing or another, and we many of us will try, you know, like there's billions of people right now who are just trying, you know, one experiment after another to try and find, you know, that sort of elusive satisfaction. And, you know, a lot of people will turn to good things in order to find that. They'll try to, you know, they'll turn to God and they'll look to, you know, they'll look to doing charitable works for each other and, you know, trying to, you know, to love each other. And some people will turn towards, you know, bad things to try and fulfill that desire. And then they'll turn to, you know, as in Anna's case, they'll turn to alcohol or try to, you know, people will just try to, you know, waste their time watching television all the time or try to, you know, look for riches or look for, you know, like the next, you know, nice vacation, you know, things which don't really satisfy us, but which people will look to in order to just try and get that, you know, satisfaction that they crave, that sort of, you know, fulfill the emptiness inside of themselves. But ultimately, it doesn't quite satisfy the end, unfortunately.
Yeah, because I always go back to, Genesis, that in the beginning, before humans made a mistake, we were still created. So, you know, I always ask myself then, so why did God create us? And I do believe to communicate with us. So when you close that communication off with your creator, yeah, you're going to feel empty. You're going to feel something's missing. And that's what you're created to do, to communicate. And nothing else is going to substitute for that. Nothing else, I don't think, will fill that up or suffice that. And we sure do try hard to find other substitutions for it. And for a lot of people, and maybe for Anna as well, people sometimes struggle with mistakes they've made, and they feel like God wouldn't accept them back into God's presence, which is not true. But people can feel that way based on maybe the way that other folks have reacted to them when they make mistakes. You think about people who make some really serious mistakes and either become a serious alcoholic or drug addict or go into prostitution. And then when other people start to turn their back to you, you just feel maybe that your creator would react to you the same way. So it's always good when we do accept and love each other, irregardless of where we are. I think it just helps people to even be more open to going back to that relationship with their creator. Was Anna depressed, David, before she started to drink, or did she become that way after she started to drink? And I'm thinking, what was her marriage like that she would even start drinking like that?
She didn't. Have a bad marriage. She had depression before she drank, but her depression became much greater after she drank because of all the problems that were introduced because of her drinking. But the in terms of her status in life, she was like, you know, she had come to Canada, and much of her depression sort of was as a result of little things. You know, she sort of missed her homeland, and she sort of missed, like, you know, the things that she had in her family back home, as well as the, you know, she had some difficulties with, you know, adjusting to the new surroundings. You know, nothing that was really, you know, sort of absolutely heartbreaking in terms of, or absolutely, you know, catastrophic in terms of what would cause people suffering. You know, she just, you know, the normal problems that sort of come up in a person's life, but she reacted to these very badly, and she, you know, became depressed as a result of them, and, you know, tried to appease them in a way which, you know, it's not going to be appeased by, you know, turning to drinking and trying to, you know, try to answer the problem with that. And the
that could happen, a series of small things, not getting a job you want, or promotion, or house or something you want, and then you just keep letting those things pile up and become a heavy weight on you, to where they just weigh you down. So just approaching things, I think, I always say, I'm learning, let the Holy Ghost make the decision for you, that, because God knows everything. And rather than doing it for yourself and then saying, you know, telling yourself things like, I'm dumb, I don't get it, I'm slow, and then you just bring yourself spiraling down little by little, just like Anna did, and then maybe one major thing happens and you just get sucked and get a knockout blow. And I think the way you have created this character really says something about you as a writer, just a true, really using your gift and your talent as a writer. I just want to just break briefly and let our listeners know here at Off the Shelf that we are speaking with David Murdoch here on Saturday, February 27, 2010, and I'm coming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. David is calling in from Toronto, Canada. David Murdoch is the author of the inspirational book, Anna Markovic, which we are speaking about today. He is a graduate from Queen's University in Kingston. And now we're going to go back and talk with David some more about Anna Markovic. David, I wanted to ask you, why do you think, and I was just wondering this the other day, why do you think that we don't learn from each other's mistakes? We see other people, whether it's drinking or not managing money well and going into tons of debt. But we don't seem to learn from each other's mistakes? Why do you think this is?
That's a really good question. Why I think it is, I guess it's because we're very open to delusions, to accept delusions into our lives on the basis of thinking things which are not true, but which we prefer to believe in order to try to comfort ourselves somehow. And I guess many of us just won't, we're sinners and we don't recognize the truth for what it is. Well, even if we happen to know that, trying to get our happiness out of, things which aren't going to make us happy, trying to do this over and over again, even if we know that after a million times trying to perform an experiment to get our satisfaction to fulfill our lives, we know that after a million times that experiment never fulfills anything, we go off and try it again. Like there's a story that comes from India, and if I'm not mistaken, it's just like there's an elephant which is covered with it's covered with mud, and it's in the sun all day, and the mud is it's on its skin, and it's breaking its skin, and it's causing the elephant all sort of pain, and the elephant sees a stream of water which is going by, like a river of some sort. And the elephant, looks into the stream and decides to go bathe itself to get rid of all this mud. And so it spends an hour and, gets all the mud off of it, cleans itself up, and its skin is no longer blistering because of the mud. Then once it walks out of the stream, it sees, the mud bank, which is next to the river, and thinks to itself, how much fun would it be to start rolling around in that mud again? And so it, gets down on its body and starts rolling around again.
Oh, my goodness, that's a good story. Oh, God, that's a good story. Well, I guess that's an answer. Eventually, I do believe we're going to learn. Oh, that was funny. Funny and so true. Thanks for sharing that. I wanted to ask you, before we go on any further, David, can you let our listeners here at Off the Shelf know where they can get a copy of your book? If you have a website, could you give your website URL, please?
I don't think I have the URL on me, but it's available on Amazon. If you type in Anna Markovic, David Murdoch, and you'll come up with the hit. You can also get it on Barnes & Noble's website as well as a whole bunch of other ones if you just type it in the search engine.
Go ahead.
I unfortunately don't have the URL right on me. I neglected to write that down, but you should be able to find it easily if you type it in on the search engine.
All right. And then also, is it available in bookstores in Toronto, Canada, where people living in Canada can go and get a copy of Anna Markovic?
To the best of my knowledge, I think it's only available online.
Okay, so to our listeners here at Off the Shelf who are interested in getting a copy of David Murdoch's new book, Anna Markovic, you can get a copy at Amazon.com, and I did check, it is there when I was doing my research, and you can also check at BarnesandNoble.com, and you can order them directly online, Anna Markovic by David Murdoch, and his last name is spelled Murdoch. Also, if you put in David Murdoch, author of Anna Markovic, and her last name is spelled Markovic, you can find his website on the internet. I wish I had written down the URL. I would share that with you. I like to share that with our listeners, so after the show, they can go and visit the author's website. So just log in, David Murdoch, Murdoch, author of Anna Markovic, Markovic. And then you can visit his website online. You should send him an email. Let him know how you enjoyed his book, which, again, is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Please go out and support David. He's written a very inspirational book, and he has really developed the character Anna Markovic in the story. David, have people with drinking problems, I'm real life people, have they read and contacted you about the book, or have their family members contacted you about Anna Markovic? And if so, what are some of the comments that readers have shared with you about the book?
I haven't been contacted by anyone who has drinking problems themselves, but I have encountered one person who used to work in a rehabilitation facility, like a detox clinic, and he mm-hmm. told me, he said after he read the book that he thinks that the book, you know, his opinion, that it's going to save souls, and he took a copy of it, he left it in the detox area where he used to work.
Wow.
And that's the only thing that I know about that, but I thought that was, you know, that was really, really uplifting for me, you know, to hear.
Wow, that is amazing. Yes, you don't know whose life you're going to impact. That is truly amazing. Have you thought about sending the book, that said, to Alcoholics Anonymous or organizations? I mean, they're all over. Have you thought about sending copies to those areas? Maybe if you sent 5 or 10 books, not a whole ton of books, because you don't know what will happen after that. I mean, your book sales could take off, or people's lives could be impacted. That you may not even never even know the person, but still their lives could be impacted in a positive way. Is that something that you've ever thought about doing?
Someone once suggested to me that maybe I should try sending it to like a group that works with the homeless, but I hadn't thought about sending it to an alcoholic organization, but that's a very good idea, which I should probably, you know, maybe pursue after this interview, maybe, but I hadn't thought of it before, no.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's something that you could think about. I just thought about it when the other counselors said that how many people could, you go to the depth of it with Anna, so it's not something that you are glossing over, and then a reader who's really experienced that can relate to what she's going through, and in the way this story ends, that you don't leave her in that state. Is really, I think, empowering. What happens, David, to cause Anna to wake up? And I want to ask you also, why does she think her life is a dream? And then what happens to cause her to wake up and realize what's really happening to her?
You mean when she wakes up from the dream or the?
Yeah, it's like, well, when I read about it on Amazon, it's like she thought she's either having a dream. It's either that she thinks, I guess, at some point that some of it is a dream to her, or either this dream is so poignant, so real to her, at some point she wakes up from this dream, whether it's from the dream or from this, I don't know what the word I want to say is, not like a semi-conscious state due to being intoxicated all the time. At what point does she stop drinking and wake up from this and wake up and see what's happened and start to really live her life? When does she come out of this stupor and wake up and really start to live her life?
Most of the book takes place in the dream that she's having while she's about to die, and when she's talking with the Archangel Michael. And it's during the course of this, you know, after all the conversations and arguments and debates that she's having between herself and him, and, you know, she's at the same time, she's almost as though she's trying to argue with God about this point. And she's, after a little bit of a while, after like, you know, the whole book is basically about trying to get her to wake up from it. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but after the end of it, she does eventually wake up from the dream, and she survives and doesn't die, and she has to and she sort of reforms her life a little bit.
Wow.
There's
a blurb at Amazon.com, again, to our listeners here at Off the Shelf. David Murdoch's book, Anna Markovic, is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And a blurb at Amazon.com says, Anna Markovic was written as a means of sharing a gift God has given him and doing something with God's grace. The blurb goes on to state that God's love offers every human being. And so it just says God's love offers every human being. So David, I wanted to ask you, what does God's love offer every human being, even people who have had tremendously hard and painful childhoods due to no fault of their own, people who suffered trauma at the hands of their parents or some other situation? What does God's love offer to every human being, to you?
I often think about, there's a part in the Old Testament, and I can't remember the chapter or verse, but it goes something like, the prophet is telling the people of Israel, can a mother forget the son of her womb? You know, and even she could forget her child, but God could never forget you. And that's what I think about in terms of, you know, what God's love offers us. It's we're so important in His eyes. We're so valued by Him. We matter so much to Him that He would, you know, give up everything, even His own Son, in order to, you know, in order to love us. And He would, like, what God's love offers all of us is to know the meaning of why we're here, to be forgiven for the things which we've done wrong, to be comforted, and to, you know, realize that, you know, that there's a hope, you know, to be freed from the sufferings of this life, and that there's and just knowing that there's, you know, ultimately the person who's in control of this universe, you know, the all-powerful, who, you know, truly loves each one of us as His sons and daughters, and that we're all of infinite value to Him. We're all as important to Him as, you know, He is to Himself. We're all so greatly valued by Him that He would, you know, like, it's hard to describe by words, I guess. Like the quote from the prophet, which I just told you, is, you know, what often mm-hmm. strikes out at me. Like, it's the meaning to our existence. You know, mm-hmm. it's the God's love offers, you know, the something which is more valuable to us than everything out there. It's, you know, God's love is something which is more valuable, something which is, you know, something which
yet it's hard to put words to. Yeah, exactly. You have to experience it. You know what? That's a good thing. You have to experience it, I would say, and live it. It's something you can't put words to, but it's always there. It is always there. It's always, always, always there. David, who are some of your favorite writers, and what is it about their work? You are very good with characters, I got to tell you. What is it about, who are some of your favorite writers, and what is it about their work that you admire the most?
I have to actually make a confession that I don't actually read a lot of fiction myself. But in terms of, like, the favorite sort of things that I often try to read are writings of some of the saints, or sometimes academic works. And
mm-hmm.
in terms of one of my favorite writers, happens to be St. Augustine of Hippo, or St. Augustine of Hippo.
Okay.
And he didn't write fiction, of course. He wrote The City of God, which is, like, a really, 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 you know, long tome. But it's, I guess, like, there's some themes even in his work which I guess sort of influence me about, like, he's talking about, you know, sort of the delusions that he encountered, you know, among the people of Rome. Like, in one part early on in his book, he talks about how it is that the Roman citizens used to watch, you know, theater shows, pornographic theater shows, because it turned them on. And, you know, that he blames it sort of for the downfall of their civilization. And When the Visigoths came and sacked Rome in the year 410, a lot of these refugees came to North Africa where he was, and he writes in the book, he says, you know, I don't believe posterity is going to believe me when I tell them that after their homes were destroyed, after they came here, they continued going back to the same theater shows day after day after day after day. So, you know, like, they didn't quite get the point of it, and that was, I guess it's sort of a thing that might influence me from that.
Okay. How did you land your publisher, Eloquent Books?
I first contacted an agent in about soon after I completed the Anna Markovich, and she then directed me to Eloquent Books, and that's how we got into contact with each other.
Okay. What advice would you give, David, to other writers who are looking to land a publisher or a literary agent? How did you go about getting your literary agent?
I found an agency online which was offering to look at people who might send in work and see if they liked it or not. The advice I would give to new writers is to to pray and to recognize that if God calls you to write, then he'll trust in Him, and He'll make it happen for you. And I would also recommend looking at some of the things, some of the advice which is offered by other writers. Like one of the things I found that was really helpful when I was starting up, because I started up as almost a complete amateur to the whole business of publishing, is that I found that there's other writers out there, including Tanya Ortiz, who are really, mm-hmm. really helpful to new people starting up, and they'll give lots of good advice about where to look for and what to what to try and what not to try and that sort of stuff.
So networking with other professional writers, and then how did you and Tanya? I'm just curious, because you're in Toronto, she's in Germany. How did you guys? I know. How did you guys? Y'all met on the internet. Is that how y'all paths crossed?
I've been doing a lot of internet advertising on sending stuff to reviewers and having interviews on blogs and stuff. And I happened to send a copy to I can't remember the name of it. I think it's Catholic Media Fiction or something like that. And it was, and Tanya is one of the reviewers who works for that, along with a whole bunch of others.
Okay.
I sent it to her, and she reviewed the book, and I contacted her afterwards, and I thanked her for the review, and we talked a little bit about it. And after that, I told her that, like a lot of the difficulties I was having, and thinking about how it was, I wasn't having much success in this. And she started giving me all kinds of really, really helpful advice about what I should be trying. And I found that was one of the biggest boosts that I would say in trying to figure out how to sell the work.
Okay.
Stuff. Which is, what I would recommend for a lot of new writers out there, to try and look for, the stuff that sort of more accomplished people have written about, because there's a lot of good writers out there who are sort of offering advice about, how to succeed, and it's a very good source to go to.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree, David. I want to ask you about your how you create your characters, because I think it's just a natural gift as well. But do you do character sketches when you are doing your stories? Do you have your characters write letters or write in journals? How do you get so connected to a character that you can create them so that they seem and feel like a real life person?
I try to think about. Actually, how would I say that? I try to think how it is that a person, like I look at people in real life, people who are around me or people I can have memories of, and I try to think to myself, how do they act? What would they do? Would they do this? Or I try to think to myself of sort of the more complex things, and I find it difficult at times to try and think about how it is you sort of. You draw an image of something which, exists in reality, or you try to paint an image of a person who, on a page who exists in reality, and you have to try and think about all the different nuances and stuff. And the best I can do is I just try to think of real people and, the quirks and quirks that they have, and try to see what I can do in order to incorporate that into writing.
Okay. To our listeners here at Off the Shelf, we are speaking with David Murdock. David Murdock is the author of the new book, Anna Markovic, which is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Encourage you to go out and pick up a copy today to support David. This is an inspirational story, and he goes very deep into the heart of this character, Anna Markovic, who is a refugee from Yugoslavia, and she flees to Canada with her husband. Again, the title of the book is Anna Markovic. You can find David online by typing in his name, David Murdock, and his last name is spelled Murdoch. And then just type David Murdock, author of Anna Markovic. The character's last name is Markovic. He's done such a good job with this character that she just feels so real to me. David Murdock is also a graduate of King's University in Kingston. He's from the same country that the filmmaker genius James Cameron, the creator of Avatar, is from. He didn't ask me to say that. I'm saying that on my own. So go out and support David. Check out his website and get a copy of Anna Markovic from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. David, I just want to ask you, as we come down to our last 15 minutes, dialogue, plot, and pace are very, they're like crucial to the success of a story. You can have a good character in mind. You can have a good plot in mind for a story, but if it's not well paced or if it doesn't seem real, you have the gift of being able to create characters that do seem real, which gives a story power and strength. I wanted to ask you, when it comes to like things like dialogue and plot and pacing, and even maybe some parts of the characterization, do you work with a team of readers? Like some writers join they join critique groups where there are professional writers will read each other's stories. I know I'm a member of one, and they'll critique each other's stories and offer advice and tips on ways to improve the story. Some writers just write the story and work with their editor. But do you work with a team of readers or an editor to make sure that your dialogue and plot and pace are at their best?
When I was writing this book, I wasn't working with that. But since then, I've talked with more people, and I haven't joined an official group, but I've talked with people who will look at my writing and tell me what they think about it. But at the time I was writing this particular book, I hadn't thought of I hadn't joined anything which would have helped me in that regard.
Oh, okay. I know some people also read their work out loud. I used to sometimes I'd read it into a tape recorder and play it back, because as an author, I don't care how many times you go over something, even catching just a grammatical thing. So however many times you go over a story, you think, oh, wow, I got everything. I looked at this story 20 times. Then you see it in print, and you're like, oh, my goodness, I didn't even see that. So sometimes if you read it out loud, I'll hear things that doesn't sound right. If I read it out loud rather than just reading it on paper, I find for me, for our listeners here at Off the Shelf who are also writers, or who want to write a story, that's another thing that you might find helpful, is reading the story out loud, because something might come to you through hearing it that you wouldn't pick up on if you just read it. And also joining professional writers groups where other professional writers who are either published or seasoned, they're experienced. Some are former school teachers. Some are still school teachers or college professors. They can read your work and make suggestions for improvement. Of course, you don't have to take those suggestions, but when you hear the same type of thing from maybe 6 to 8 people, you know there might be something there. David, did you major in journalism or creative writing in college? I know you said you the way you came about knowing that you were speaking with somebody who was telling you, think about using your gifts to help other people, and that's how you thought, let me look into this writing thing a little bit more. After that or before, had you taken any journalism or creative writing courses? If not, how did you learn the art of creating a good story if you didn't take any courses beforehand?
I actually got my degree in history, and I never took too much creative writing in school, although I took a little bit in high school. I think in terms of actually learning how to write, I trusted in God, and I prayed for His help to try and get this about. And I also tried to look at after reading so many stories in my lifetime, I just sort of had an idea of what it is I think that a good story sort of should look like and what it is it shouldn't look like. And I'm not really an expert on the subject, but I just tried to work on that basis and see how it is the character, the plot, the story should all sort of develop. And I don't know what more that would have helped me other than that. I often read the scriptures, I often read the Bible, and I often like the way the stories are sort of laid out, and they mention stories and they have all sorts of details that you wouldn't have thought about, all sorts of very meaningful details that for the first time. And I often think about that and try to work with that conception in my head sometimes.
Okay. I wanted to ask next, and as for some of our readers, I do know of one author who, for people who might be a little bit hesitant about publishing their book, because there are a lot of books on the market, and I want to talk about marketing with David next. But one way you can maybe test the waters is also to create an e-book. And we know we've got these e-book readers like Kindle. I think Apple might have an e-book reader, but more and more companies are coming out with them. Some of the benefits of that, you know, you can carry it with you wherever you go, but you can also carry a print book with you wherever you go. Some people prefer the print book than to an electronic book. But if you create an e-book, you can put that on your website. You don't have the printing overhead expense. And then you can just see how that starts to sell and get some reader comments before you would go to print. So that's something else for our listeners here at Off the Shelf that you might want to look into if you're concerned about money or price to print a book, if you self-published it or if you didn't want to wait for a publisher to pick your story up. An e-book is a good way to test those waters out. That said, David, I wanted to ask you, what has worked best for you? And I know that you said you're learning, and Tanya Ortiz has helped you. Again, she's the author of Window to My Soul. But what has worked best for you in regards to marketing and promoting Anna Markovit so far?
I found that I was very, like, when I first sort of entered into this, I sort of had, like, almost no experience in terms of marketing. Like, I was, you know, came at it from the perspective of a complete amateur. And I came from the perspective of a complete amateur, and there was a, I sort of had a naive idea in my head that, you know, maybe I would just be able to sell the book without having to do too much marketing. And, you know, after a little while, I sort of woke up from that and realized I had to, you know, try and make a lot of effort to this. And I tried a lot of online marketing by going around the blogosphere. You know, there's a lot of blogs out there which will, you know, they have a lot of readership, and they'll take review copies of books, and, you know, they'll post a review on their website, and, you know, people will see it. And there's also a lot of sites which will do interviews of new authors or that sort of stuff. I tried a lot of that kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find a whole lot of success with those methods, though. Not to say that those aren't effective, but I didn't find a lot of success with those methods. And I found that, after, you know, trying this and that some of the best things I should have tried out were things which were being, you know, recommended by, you know, other authors. For example, contacting you and having this interview, for example, or that sort of thing. And I would have to say that I'm certainly, you know, far from becoming an expert in marketing, but I'm learning along as it goes, you know, try to, you know, just endure in the process and see, you know, if I can make it work or not. And,
I think,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I would just recommend to other authors out there that are, you know, just entering into the field to realize that it's very difficult to market a book, but it can be done. You know, if God calls you to do this, just trust in Him and, you know, do your best to try and, you know, work with the little experience you have, and look to the advice of other authors.
Yes, and then the thing for you and for all authors, when you think about, and myself, when you think about the subject, what is the subject of the book, the content? Are there any organizations that deal with this subject? Like, again, Alcoholics Anonymous for Anna Markovit would be one. And they can really get that book. For my book, Portia, Susan G. Coleman, who they did buy some copies of the book, they know the right people to get a copy of those books into the hands of. So those types of things, you think, what's the subject of my book? Okay, it deals with some police type of thing. It can be fictional or non-fictional. Let me contact some police organizations. And those people have an interest in these subjects, or they wouldn't be in these fields to start with. So you've already got that. And then they know the people. They have those contacts to know to get the book in the hands of people who can even get the word spread further and further and further. So that's another tip for our listeners here at Off the Shelf. And I also wanted to ask you, were you a member of any – oh, and something else that you mentioned I wanted to expound upon to our listeners here at Off the Shelf was that you said some things you found didn't really work. So I would encourage writers not to put a lot of money into anything, really. You got to see first, is this even working? What works for somebody else might not work for you, but you will find something that works for you if you keep going. For me, it's going out on the road. When I go out on the road, I tend to sell lots and lots and lots of books. So certain things work for certain authors, certain other things work better, and sometimes it's just a mix of things. And I do also encourage internet presence. With just 5 minutes left, David, I wanted to ask you, are you a member of any of these social networks? Like, are you on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn? And if so, can you let us know if there are any ways other than your website that our listeners at Off the Shelf can keep up with what you're doing as a writer?
I don't have any of those sorts of things, no, unfortunately. Although it has been recommended to me, and I might try setting up something like that in the future, but I don't have anything at the present.
Okay. All right. Do you have any upcoming events that you're going to be speaking at or any book signings you're going to be attending so our listeners can come out and support you?
Nothing I have like that, no.
Okay. And then I wanted to also ask you next if you were working on any new material, and if so, if you could give us, if you could, a glimpse of what that's about and when we could expect to see it on the market, or is anything that you are thinking about creating in the near future?
There is something I've been working on for a while, although I don't know if I'll publish it or not. I might publish it someday, but I'm not sure if I will. And to give a glimpse to it, if I do publish it, I suppose if anyone would be interested in it, it's about like it's almost like a, sort of a Christian or a Catholic science fiction thing about something that occurs far in the future, with like a world which is I don't know how to put it, like a world that no longer believes in human rights. And, you know, it doesn't believe that humans are anything more than organisms, and that, you know, you can use humans for, you know, strange purposes.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that's the best glimpse I can give. I can't say that I'm necessarily going to publish it, but I might publish it someday. But that would be the only thing I would be working on at the present.
Wow, that's a long stretch from Anna Markovic. So you have a creative mind, just hearing you say that, because that's very different from from Anna Markovic, the story that you've written. David, are you available for any book signings, book readings? If anybody's listening to Off the Shelf and they might be in the Toronto, Canada area, and they might say, I'd like to have David come to speak at my organization, I'd like to have David come do a book signing, are you available to do those things? And if so, how would someone contact you if they wanted you to come speak at an event?
It's unlikely that that would be possible, because it's likely that I'm going to be moving away from Toronto in not too distant future. But if it was another time, I might have been able to do something like that.
Okay. So, but if somebody in some other part of the country wanted to contact you, is there a contact link at your website where people could contact you?
You can contact Eloquent Books and ask for me through them, but. It's unlikely that I would be. It's unlikely that I'm going to be remaining in Canada.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you, if you weren't a writer, David, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
That's a good question. I guess you know, just trusting in God and seeing, you know, what else He has for me. I don't know what in particular I might have done though.
Okay, last question, David, and thank you for being here with us at Off the Shelf this morning, calling all the way from Toronto, Canada. We really appreciate, and I appreciate you being here this morning, so thank you. What last words of encouragement or advice would you like to leave with our listeners here at Off the Shelf, David?
Trust in God. Know that He loves you, and don't worry. That would be it.
You said don't worry?
Don't worry. Just trust in God. Know that He loves you, and don't worry.
Okay. We were honored this morning to speak with and interview David Markovic. He is the author of the book, David Murdoch. He is the author of the inspirational book, Anna Markovic, which we spoke about in detail on today's show here at Off the Shelf. It is a very poignant, empowering, and inspirational book about a woman who's dealing with alcoholism and how she turns her life around. And her last name, her name is spelled A-N-A, Anna Markovic, M-A-R-K-O-V-I-C. Please go and pick up a copy at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. You can find David online, David Murdoch, M-U-R-D-O-C-H, and just put author of Anna Markovic, and his website will come up so you can keep up with what he's doing in the near future. I want to thank David for being here with us at Off the Shelf, and I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today here at Off the Shelf. We will continue to bring you movers and shakers and authors and editors and publishers people who really have an influence in the literary and book community in the coming weeks on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. here at Off the Shelf, please go over and check out my website and pick up a copy of my new book, Long Walk Up. My website is www.chistell.com. You can pick up a copy of my books in a bookstore if you don't see it on a bookstore shelves. Simply ask the bookstore clerk for a copy because it's in Ingram Books, one of the largest book distributors in the world, and they can get a copy for you and mail it to you. You can also, of course, order a copy of any of my books, including my new book, Long Walk Up, at my website, again, www.chistell.com. I appreciate your support. Remember that you are so valued, so truly loved, and so incredibly blessed. Have a blessed day. Bye for now. See you next Saturday. David, I'll shoot you an email.
Oh, thank you very much.